This is Audible.
Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Ashes by Suzanne Wright, narrated by Kat Doucette.
Chapter 1.
If I were a set of keys, where would I be?
Shoving the drawer closed, Harper Wallace cursed. She'd searched the reception desk, her office, the break room, and every tattoo station. There was no sign of her keys, which was a major problem since she couldn't leave without locking the studio. Having been raised by imps, she was very security conscious. Breaking and entering was merely one talent that imps possessed. They also excelled at lying, cheating, stealing, and identity theft. She might biologically be a sphinx like her mother, but Harper was an imp in every other way that counted.
Speaking of imps,
Harper turned to her teenage cousin.
Did you find the keys?
Nope,
Robbie replied. Well, maybe if you got up off your ass and looked instead of lounging on the sofa flicking through the portfolios, you might actually find them. Heidi, her other cousin, who was only 5, came skipping out of the break room and crossed to Harper.
They're not back there.
Harper stroked the little imp's white blonde hair.
Thanks anyway, Heidi-ho.
The kid truly did look like an absolute angel. As a demon, she was, of course, far from it.
Why not just call Rainy?
Asked Robbie.
She's the co-owner. She must have her own set of keys.
She does,
said Harper, but I'm not calling her all the way back here. It wasn't exactly a simple location to arrive at. 6 months ago, they'd relocated the business to the underground, a demonic paradise that was pretty much a subterranean, hyperactive version of the Las Vegas Strip. Harper's mate, Knox Thorne, had built the underground a long time ago, and it was globally popular, mostly because demons were impulsive creatures that had instant gratification issues, loved adrenaline rushes, and were plagued by boredom and restlessness.
Done,
declared Richie, her uncle. Dusting off his hands, he backed away from the vending machine.
It should work fine.
He lightly pounded his fist on the side of the machine, and it sprung to life with a whir as it dropped a bag of chips. Harper shook her head.
It doesn't matter how many times I do that. It never works for me.
His daughter, Chloe, who also happened to be Harper's receptionist, did it just as effortlessly.
Thanks, Richie. I appreciate the help.
He frowned at her.
I still don't understand why you want to work here when you could earn a hell of a lot more money working for me.
He griped. Her uncle could fix anything. He could also recreate any piece of art. He'd produced and sold countless counterfeit paintings, and he'd passed on his expertise to Harper. As such, it disappointed him that she chose to waste her artistic talent by drawing with needles. Harper raised a hand.
I'm not having this conversation with you again.
Richie grunted.
Come on, kids. Your mom will be waiting for you.
Although he was unmated, he had dozens of kids with 5 different mothers. He was a good dad, though, financially and emotionally supportive. Never missed a single baseball game, school play, or ballet recital. In that sense, he was very unlike Harper's nomadic father, who could go for months at a time without contacting her. Though Lucien did actually consider that to be full-time parenting. Gathering his tools, Richie spoke.
Where's your bodyguard?
Tanner has the night off since I'm riding home with Knox.
Her mate was a busy guy, so their work days didn't always finish at the same time.
I'm meeting Knox at his office, and then we're going out for a meal.
Honestly, she didn't feel up to it. She was so tired that her mind was foggy with exhaustion, and all she wanted to do was go home and crash. Not that there would be much point in that. Sleep hadn't been coming easy to her lately. That might not have been so bad, since, as a rule, demons didn't need much sleep and could even go days without it. But when she did sleep, it was restless and didn't restore her energy.
"Want us to walk you to Knox's office?" asked Richie.
She shook her head. "I can't leave until I find the keys." In general, she wasn't a forgetful person, but it had been a long, tiring day, and her brain just wasn't cooperating.
"Don't worry, I'll find them. They're here somewhere. Thanks again for your help."
Richie nodded.
"Ready, kids?"
"Yep."
Heidi peppered Harper's face with kisses and then turned to skip away, but Harper grabbed her by the back of her sweater.
"What?"
asked Heidi, blinking innocently. Harper held out her hand.
"I want whatever you've stolen with those sticky fingers of yours."
Heidi pouted, and then fished a diamond belly button ring out of her pocket. The little girl could always be counted on to take something shiny.
"You're no fun," she said.
Harper gaped at her.
"How did you even get this?"
The glass reception desk doubled as a display cabinet for jewelry and other products, and Harper always kept it locked. Heidi gave her a look that said,
"Don't insult me."
Then she skipped over to Richie. He patted his daughter on the head.
"You make your daddy proud."
Harper rolled her eyes.
"I'll see you all soon."
They said their goodbyes, and Robbie then ushered the kids out of the studio. Determined to find the damn keys, Harper restarted her search. She checked every desk drawer, the spaces between the sofa cushions, and then underneath the table and couch. Once she was positive they weren't in the reception area, she moved onto the tattoo stations and thoroughly searched every one of them. Still no keys. Harper's inner demon huffed at her in sheer exasperation, like she was failing on freaking purpose. It had absolutely no sympathy for her. It just wanted to be with its mate. Sharing your soul with a dark predator that was essentially a psychopath could be a bitch of a situation at times. The demon had no conscience, no empathy, no ability to love. It also possessed a strong and annoying sense of entitlement that made it a persistent motherfucker. As Harper made her way through the break room and into the stock room, a mind, dark, familiar, and comforting, brushed against hers.
"You're late, baby."
It wasn't a reproach, more like a need for confirmation that nothing was wrong. She smiled as the velvety, smoky rumble seemed to slide over her skin. Knox's sinfully seductive voice truly shouldn't be legal.
"I'm sorry. I can't find my keys."
"You don't think anybody's taken them, do you?"
There was a promise of retribution in his words.
"No, they're here somewhere."
But as Harper scanned the inventory, she didn't see them.
"I have a spare set. I'll bring them to you."
She lifted a brow, even though he couldn't see.
"And just why do you have spare keys to my studio?"
A vibe of amusement touched her mind. Apparently, her snippy remark didn't bother him.
"It used to be one of my security offices, remember?"
Oh, yeah. She'd kind of forgotten that.
"Give me 10 minutes. If I haven't found mine by then, I'll use the spare set."
"If that's what you..."
She frowned when he abruptly cut off.
"Knox?"
"I need to have a quick talk with Levi,"
he said, sounding distracted.
"After that, I'll come to you if you haven't already arrived."
If he was doing that keeping things from her to protect her thing again, there'd be an argument for sure. But since his mind had already pulled away from hers, she didn't bother saying as much. Turning her attention back to the mystery of the disappearing keys, Harper looked in the small restroom and gave the kitchenette a thorough exploration. Nothing. Cursing, she returned to her office to give it yet another search. Looking under her sketch pads, she froze as a prickle of awareness danced across her nape. She was about to turn when a heavy weight slammed into her back, propelling her forward so that she was bent over the table. Just as fast, the back of her shirt was ripped open, and a body appeared in front of her as two meaty hands grabbed hers, fisting her own hands and pinning them in place.
"We need to do this quickly," said a gruff voice.
"What the fuck? Knox!" No response. A familiar, protective power rushed from her belly to her fingertips. They prickled as the power fought for release. Harper would be more than fucking happy to release it on her captive, but her hands were trapped.
"Get the fuck off me! Do it now!"
Someone blew into her ear, and suddenly, Harper was at home. She stood in the doorway of her bedroom. It was almost eerily dim. Weirdly, the entire space was bare apart from one thing, a cradle. It would have been deathly quiet if it wasn't for the sound of a baby crying. For some reason, the sound made her stomach tighten. She crept forward, feeling disturbingly compelled toward the cradle, and abruptly back in her office, Harper hissed through her teeth. The flesh of her back felt like it was on fire. Her demon raged, freaking the fuck out. Harper writhed and struggled against her captive's grip, scrambling to understand what the hell was happening. "You want to release me," she said in a compelling tone that came with the Sphinx package. A dark chuckle.
"No, we don't."
Her surroundings shifted once again, and she found herself walking toward the cradle again. Time was slow here. There was no pain, no panic, no anger. But it wasn't real, was it? She didn't know, so she kept her mind focused on the vision in front of her. The crying seemed louder now, and finding herself bent over the office table once more, she blinked, disoriented. Her body bucked and writhed as what felt like some sort of magnetic force called to her wings. They snapped to the surface and fanned out around her, huge, gold, heavy, eagle-like gossamer wings that were silky soft but strong as steel.
"Look at the black and red streaks running through the gold feathers," said the demon, subduing her hands.
His shock was understandable. They were the colors of the flames of hell. A covetous hand stroked one wing. Red-hot rage whipped through her, and she writhed like crazy.
"Let me go, you motherfuckers!" "She shouldn't be partially aware." "Well, I know that, but she is."
"Knox! Knox!" Where the hell was he? Was someone attacking him, too, and... She was back in her bedroom again, closer to the cradle now. The cries had eased a little, as if whatever lay there was calmed by her presence. A part of her wanted to retreat, but she needed to see the source of the crying, needed to know if... Arching like a bow, Harper screamed around her gag. Gag? As something sliced into her back. No, into the stems of her wings. The son of a bitch was trying to sever her wings. Tears stung her eyes each time the jagged blade mercilessly cut into the stems. She redoubled her efforts to be free, even as it worsened the pain that was burning her from the inside out. Her heartbeat was racing so fast that she wouldn't have been surprised if it collapsed. The male behind her cursed.
If Sphinx wings were as flimsy as they look, this would be a lot goddamn easier.
I swear, I will fucking kill you, she growled around the gag.
The males just laughed. Laughed. Her inner demon shoved its way to the surface and pulled back its lips.
You will die for this, it told them in a flat, emotionless voice that was barely audible,
but the demon's presence still made both males pause for a moment.
For God's sake, put her out!
A warm breath blew into her ear once more, and she was back in her room. Two single steps were all it would take to get her up close to the cradle. She took one step, then another, and there, eyes closed as it fussed and kicked its little legs, was a baby. It looked so tiny and sweet, sucking on its fist. Harper's smile was slow, but real, as she tentatively reached out and ran the tip of her finger over the small hand, warmed by the feel of its petal-soft skin. The baby's eyes flipped open, and all she could see was flames. Harper snapped back to reality, pain ripping through her as someone continued sawing into the stems of her wings. Black spots filled her vision, and the sickly tastes of blood and fear flooded her mouth until they almost choked her. She wanted to shout, struggle, fight back, but she felt paralyzed with the sheer agony that came with each and every slice. Not even the adrenaline pumping through her was much help at this point.
Now, those rings sure are pretty, said her captor,
keeping her hands fisted so tightly that her nails bit hard into her palms.
I'll bet there are people willing to pay top dollar for them. Maybe even more than this guy's paying us for the wings.
Like hell she would let them take the rings. Nox had given them to her. One was a black diamond, something a demon only gave to their mate. It was a symbol of the ultimate commitment. They meant more to her than even her wings.
No, don't free her hands. She can cause soul-deep pain, idiot. She's trapped in a dream right now. She doesn't even know we're here or where she is.
This was her chance, Harper thought. If nothing else, she could hurt one of the bastards who was hurting her. She didn't move when he slowly lifted her third finger. She remained still, quiet. As she felt him try to tug off her rings, she did nothing more than poke his hand. The dark power prickling the pad of her finger forced its way inside him. His mouth opened in a silent scream as pain scorched his nerve endings, punctured his organs, sawed through his bones, and battered his soul. He stumbled back and fell, knocking piles of paper down with him. And there were her keys. Grabbing them, she infused hellfire into them and, bracing herself for yet more pain, swung back her arm and slashed at the male behind her. There was a cry of pain, and then his weight left her. Twisting, Harper spun to face the bastard, breaths sawing in and out of her. Stocky, dirty blonde hair, scruffy beard, leather jacket. He also had a saw in his hand that dripped with blood. Not good. He was glaring at the sizzling slash across his chest as his skin blistered and peeled away, thanks to the hellfire eating at it. Her demon smiled at the sight. His gaze snapped to hers just as Harper tugged down the gag, and he lifted his saw threateningly. Well, shit. She thought about snatching the stiletto blade from her boot and infusing it with hellfire, but it was really no match for the saw, was it? Still, if she could touch him just once, he'd be a soul-deep wreck, just like his friend. He shifted from foot to foot, and she knew he was preparing to charge at her. Her breathing, quick and shallow, she braced herself. But he didn't move. Eyes cold, mouth set into a sneer, he spoke.
You burned me.
Using the back of her trembling hand to wipe at the sweat beating her forehead, she snarled.
And you almost cut off my fucking wings.
She wanted to bludgeon the son of a bitch with his own weapon, but not before sawing off his arms and mangling him. Her demon shoved its way to the surface and hissed at him.
I warned you that you would pay. You should have heeded me.
Harper forced her demon to retreat and abruptly lashed out with the blazing keys. He jerked back, but they still scored his cheek. His skin sizzled as the hellfire ate at it. Her demon grinned.
You bitch!
He lifted his saw again, ready to attack.
Nox!
With a battle cry, he lunged. She sidestepped him, barely avoiding the saw. He crashed into her desk with a grunt, slashing at thin air, and fire thundered to life outside the office doorway. He whirled around to watch as the fire spat and crackled. The flames then faded, and there was Nox. Relief flooded Harper so fast her legs shook. Deep-set, ebony eyes swept over her, and his perfectly sculpted face set into a mask of savage anger. Her attacker took a cautious step away as those dark eyes slammed on him with lethal intent, glittering with a fury that began to pulse around them. Her attacker made a gurgling sound and dropped his bloody saw, clawing at an invisible hand that lifted him off his feet. Nox's psychic hands had touched her more than once, and always given her nothing but pleasure. That had made it so easy for her to forget that they could also deliver a shitload of pain. Nox stalked to him, slowly, casually, utterly composed, yet every step was both predatory and threatening. She shivered a little. It always spooked her when he was so unnaturally calm. His eyes flicked to the other demon, who was still sobbing in the corner, but his gaze quickly snapped back to the male in his psychic grip. Nox halted in front of him and cocked his head.
Your little friend over there can answer my questions, he rumbled. Which is a very good thing, because there isn't the slightest chance that I could let you live even a moment longer.
Nox's eyes bled to black, and the room temperature plummeted as his demon rose to the surface. Harper tensed. It would never harm her, she knew that, but it would be dumb to ever let herself forget how cold, menacing, and old the entity was. It could destroy them all so very easily, and it wasn't particularly interested in the right or wrong of wreaking havoc when it was in a rage. Right then, it was incalculably pissed. The demon glared at its captive.
You hurt what's mine,
it said in a chilling, disembodied voice.
Cut her, made her bleed, caused her pain.
It leaned forward slightly.
Now I will do the same to you.
Straightening, the demon held up its hand. The male's body arched toward it, legs kicking, arms flailing, eyes bulging. His face was red and contorted with an agony that he'd undoubtedly cry out with if his larynx wasn't being crushed. His body violently bucked, and there was a nauseating crack as his ribs broke, and his chest somehow burst open. His heart flew into the demon's open hand, still beating. Harper didn't know whether to be impressed or revolted. Her bloodthirsty demon was most certainly impressed, grinning with a wicked satisfaction. The corpse dropped to the floor, like a sack of spuds. Hellfire erupted out of the demon's hand, devouring the organ it held, until even the blood was completely gone. Harper's brows rose. Now that was definitely impressive. Her inner demon wholeheartedly agreed. The entity turned to face Harper, and its black eyes raked over her. Then those eyes changed, and she was once more looking at Nox. But then they bled to black again, and she realized that he and his demon were battling for dominance. She stayed rigid as she waited to see who would win. Finally, the entity seemed to have agreed to retreat, and suddenly Nox's dark eyes were focused solely on her. Despite that danger clung to him, that his demon was so pitiless and cruel, and that he was every inch the most lethal predator she'd ever met, Harper felt nothing but safe when he stalked to her and cradled her face with his hands.
"Oh, baby, what did they do to you?"
Even though his voice vibrated with a rage that was thickening the air, there was a gentle note to it that almost undid her.
"Tried to saw off my wings,"
she told him, struggling to ease the tremble in her limbs. Now that the adrenaline rush was fading, the pain was like nothing she'd ever felt, and she wasn't sure how much longer she could stay conscious. Nox viciously swore.
"Let me see."
Holding herself stiffly, she turned.
"How bad is it?"
He didn't answer, but fury blasted the air, sending shockwaves sweeping outwards. The walls and ceiling shook slightly. She slowly turned back to face him. His expression was now blank, and he looked the image of composure even as his anger seemed to clog up the room.
"How bad?"
she asked again, panicking now. Nox cupped his mate's jaw, wanting to pull her close and hold her tight against him, but he was scared he'd hurt her. She was in enough pain as it was.
"The bastards didn't get very far. The saw didn't even make it halfway through the stems."
But he knew that every drag of the serrated blade must have been absolutely agonizing. He clenched his jaw, hating the very thought of her in such excruciating pain. She wasn't bleeding badly, but the cuts on her back were ugly. The saw had sliced into her flesh several times, as if she'd repeatedly jerked, and the blade had accidentally nicked her each time. The front door burst open, just moments before Levi came skidding into the office. His gunmetal gray eyes took in Harper, the dead demon, his whimpering friend, and the bloody saw.
"Fuck!"
he bit out. Nox wasn't surprised to see his sentinel. They'd been in the middle of a conversation when Nox had heard Harper's telepathic scream, whispered her name, and then abruptly pyroported from his office to the studio. Levi had no doubt panicked.
"They tried to steal Harper's wings," Nox told him. "I believe they're hunters."
Levi cursed again.
"How successful were they?"
he growled, examining the dead body.
"Not very," said Harper. "I'll be okay."
Nox framed her face again, fighting to keep his touch gentle when he was feeling anything but.
"You should have called me immediately. I know you want to protect me just as I do you, but why wait until you're so badly hurt?"
"I did call you. You didn't come."
He frowned.
"I came as soon as I heard you."
She shook her head.
"I called you over and over. You didn't come."
She'd started to think that he wasn't going to come at all.
"I thought something might have happened to you."
Nox slid a possessive hand around her nape and gave it a comforting squeeze.
"I only heard you once, baby. It was like an echo of a scream."
And it had pierced a heart he hadn't thought he had until he met Harper.
"One of the hunters must be a blocker."
"A what?"
Someone who could block telepathic calls. If you weren't so strong, I probably wouldn't have heard you at all.
And then they'd have taken her wings, he thought. They might have even killed her to protect their identities. He could have arrived here, spare set of keys in hand, only to find her dead. His breath caught in his throat at just the very idea, and his demon bared its teeth, wanting vengeance on the other male who dared to harm its mate. Knox stroked his thumb along her jaw.
We need to get you home.
Where she'd be safe. Where he could get her cleaned up. Where she could heal. Vengeance would come later.
Are we taking that little fucker with us?
Levi clipped. Knox cut his gaze to the hunter that was huddled against the wall, shaking and whimpering, as what Knox suspected was soul-deep pain reverberated through him. That wasn't good enough for Knox or his demon. No amount of pain would be enough. They wanted to see the bastard bleed, wanted to hear him scream in the sheer agony that he and the other hunter had put Harper through. Neither Knox nor his demon would settle for anything less.
He's definitely coming with us,
Knox replied as he prowled to the hunter. The smell of the male's fear pleased his demon, who tried to resurface again, but Knox pushed it down. Now wasn't the time to play with their prey. Getting Harper to safety where she could heal was his priority. Knox squatted in front of him.
You and I will talk very soon. You're going to tell me everything I want to know. Everything.
And then he was going to die. Chapter 2. Stretched out beside his mate as she lay on her stomach, Knox stroked a hand over her long, sleek, dark hair and played with the gold ends. Although her cuts had faded to pink lines and the tears in the stems of her wings had partially re-knitted, anger still blazed inside him. He took a deep, controlled breath, inhaling her warm, honeyed scent. She was alive, safe, healing. But rage was still a living, breathing, clawing thing inside him. His demon's anger didn't show any signs of abating either. How could it? Their mate had been attacked, for fuck's sake. Attacked in her own studio, a place where she should have been safe. He'd been the one to convince her that she would be safe there. She'd relocated her studio at his request, believing he was right. And he'd been far fucking from it. His eyes fell closed as he remembered the moment he'd heard her telepathic scream. The panicked, pain-filled sound kept replaying in his mind like a broken record, and he knew he'd never forget it. Similarly, he'd never forget the sight of her there in her office, eyes clouded with pain, limbs trembling, and her skin glistening with a fine sheen of sweat. His demon had almost lost it, had wanted nothing more than to rise and wreak havoc, but Knox had only given it dominance for a short time. He'd needed to check on Harper, had reminded the demon that she was more important than their revenge, something it luckily agreed with. The entity was selfish and merciless, but it would always put Harper first. The dark entities that lived within demons couldn't love. They simply weren't capable of that emotion, but they could form attachments to people. It wasn't something they did often or easily, but it was always permanent and always intense. Knox's demon had claimed Harper as its mate. It had collected her and was every bit as possessive and protective of the little sphinx as Knox was. Shiny, defiant, and unique. She'd instantly captured his demon's interest the second they met. Knox had been just as fascinated. She was an intriguing creature. Smart, stubborn, complex, elusive. There weren't many things that Knox found unpredictable, but Harper often managed to surprise him. That was something he liked. It sometimes amused him that someone so small had so easily upturned his life. innately sensual, with mouth-watering curves and a plush mouth that he'd never tire of biting, Harper was a package that he hadn't been able to resist. He craved her on every level, mentally, physically, and even emotionally. She was indelible to him, as both his mate and his anchor. Demons came in pairs, had fated psychic mates or anchors that could make them stronger and keep them stable enough to prevent them from ever turning rogue. It was impossible for demons to control the dark entity within them, but it was possible to resist the entity's persistent attempts to completely take over if a demon linked minds with their anchor. Nox hadn't planned to claim his anchor since he was powerful enough on his own. The whole thing had seemed unnecessary and complicated to him. He didn't allow people in his life. But there was no way a person could maintain a distance between themselves and their anchor, especially since they found it mentally uncomfortable to be separated for long periods. Although the anchor bond was only psychic in nature as opposed to emotional or sexual, anchors still tended to be close friends, and they always protected, supported, and were loyal toward each other. Nox didn't consider himself a person who needed friends, even though a numbing loneliness had begun to plague him back then. Still, when he'd first stroked Harper's mind and realized what she was to him, he'd thought, "Mine." He hadn't been able to walk away from her. He'd relentlessly pursued her both psychically and sexually. Only once he'd fused their psyches had he understood that she truly was the only thing that could ever keep him stable. For all his power, he could never have been enough to keep himself from turning rogue. Just like, for all his power, he hadn't heard her calling for him tonight. The hunters had cut her, sawed at her wings, tried to steal them from her, and he'd been talking with Levi, completely oblivious. Nox had made her promise to call out to him if she was ever in danger. Stubborn and protective, Harper rarely did so, refusing to lure him into dangerous situations. The fact that she had reached out to him showed just how scared she'd been. It gutted him that she'd suffered so much pain and had feared that he wouldn't come for her. He traced the pink lines on her back, needing that proof that she was healing. A vicious sexual need pricked at him, pushing him to follow the primal urge to drive his cock deep inside her, to take her hard and reassure himself in the most basic way that she was alive. But he didn't. She might be healing, but she was also drained. The last thing she needed was him fucking in and out of her like a man possessed. She flinched as his finger touched a wound that was obviously still tender. He fisted his hand, infuriated with himself because, damn it, he should have fucking heard her. No, he should have gone to her with a spare set of keys rather than give her a little time to find her own. Then he could have killed the hunters before they even got the chance to touch her. As he pulled back his arm, her hand loosely cuffed his wrist. "It's not your fault, Nox." He wasn't surprised by her comment. Of course she'd know where his thoughts had led him. She understood him better than anyone. Sometimes that made him uncomfortable, but it also felt good to be known so well after centuries of living a mostly solitary existence. He'd had plenty of people around him, but not part of his life.
"I told you that you'd be safe there."
"Not even you could have guaranteed that." He let his eyes drift over her face, hating the lines of pain there.
"I should have heard you."
He kissed her, pouring a silent apology into it.
"You did hear me."
"Not soon enough."
"Through no fault of your own." If Harper hadn't gotten stronger since fusing her psyche with Nox's, she might not have been able to contact him at all. That wasn't something she wanted to think about. Not only because she'd have lost her wings, but because Nox would have subsequently lost all control, something that would have led to so many deaths and so much destruction. She lightly skimmed a hand over his short, stylishly cut hair. It was as dark as his eyes and soft as silk. If her back still wasn't throbbing with pain, his otherworldly, potent sex appeal would have sent her libido into a frenzy. He was nothing like the guys from her past, with his GQ style, Armani suits, and badass predatory edge. Tall and solid and dominant, Knox had a raw sexual gravity that drew people to him. All that supreme confidence, leashed power, and animal grace totally rung her bell.
"Talk me through exactly what happened," he said, stroking her wing.
It was like touching hot silk. The feathers might be soft, but they weren't fragile. He found the contrast as fascinating as he did the female beside him. She grimaced.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's the best idea.
He was already pissed beyond belief, and she didn't want to provoke the rage she knew was still simmering beneath the surface. Her demon was just as wary of stoking the fire.
Harper, this is the kind of situation where not knowing is worse.
Ignoring her pleading expression, he pressed.
Tell me.
She sighed.
Fine.
Inhaling deeply, she took in the scents of clean linen, fragrant oils, and Knox's dark, sensual cologne.
I was minding my own business, searching for the damn keys, when the hunters just seemed to appear out of nowhere. One slammed me over the table while the other stood in front of me and pinned my hands still. I couldn't fight them at first, because the one trapping my hands, the one who's still alive, sent me into a dream. I kept snapping in and out of it.
Knox frowned.
I sense that he's a nightmare. The breed can sometimes send people into dreamlike states, but they don't control the content of the dreams. What happened in it?
I was here, in our room. There was no furniture except for a cradle. There was a baby. I don't know if it was supposed to be a girl or a boy. I couldn't tell. It had flames for eyes.
Considering a delusional demon claimed you'd have a child of flames who would destroy us all, it's hardly a surprise that you had a dream about it,
he pointed out. Not so long ago, a demon from their lair who was near rogue had targeted Knox, convinced that killing him before he could breed would save the world. After several unsuccessful attempts, Lawrence Crow had then kidnapped Harper and tried to give her a hysterectomy to prevent her from having Knox's child. She'd killed the bastard instead. They'd soon discovered that Crow's strings had been pulled by a group of demons that called themselves the Four Horsemen, a group that wanted to overthrow the Primes and have domination of the U.S. They believed that Knox, being so powerful, was in their way. Knox had also discovered that he'd already killed one of the horsemen, or horsewoman, really. Isla had wanted not only to have a U.S. monarch, but to be the monarch. When her plan failed, she'd attacked Harper. Naturally, he'd killed the bitch. Isla's death hadn't made the other horsemen back off, though. Instead, they had tried and failed to cause a political war between the Primes, hoping they would turn on each other. It was only when Harper was bound to a table while Crow stood over her with a scalpel that another of the horsemen waltzed in, a demon. Rowan, from their lair. He was also Harper's half-brother, and he was now as dead as Crow. It meant that two horsemen were still out there, and Knox had to wonder if they were behind the attack at the studio.
"They were going to take my rings, too," said Harper. "They were going to sell them."
His demon snarled at the idea.
"Most hunters sell things on the black market. Sometimes they're hired to obtain something specific. We knew there was a risk that hunters would come for your wings if people were to find out that you could now call them to you.
Sphinx wings were widely coveted. Until some of his power had poured into her mind and given her wings whatever push they'd needed to surface, she'd been known as the Sphinx without wings.
We kept them a secret for that very reason. So what I want to know is how the fuck someone outside our close circle of people could have found out about them.
The hunters mentioned a guy. It sounded like they were hired by someone.
That suggested the hirer was either stupid or suicidal, in Harper's mind, and not just because Knox was a powerful prime of a lair that spanned most of Nevada and even some of California. No, it was also because harming the mate of a demon who was thought to be the most powerful in existence wasn't advisable, especially when it was rumored that said demon could also call on the flames of hell. If the hunter's employer knew just what breed of demon Knox was, Harper strongly doubted they would have fucked with her, no matter how dumb or tired of living they'd become. But very few people knew what Knox was. That only increased the fear that their kind already felt. And since fear and awe came hand in hand in the brutal world of demons, Knox was widely respected and admired. Being a billionaire who owned a chain of hotels, casinos, bars, restaurants, and security firms, Knox was just as respected and influential in the human world. He hid in plain sight, just like most of their kind. It was hardly surprising to Harper that he was such a powerful figure. Demons loved power, challenges, and control. As such, many were CEOs, politicians, entrepreneurs, bankers, stockbrokers, lawyers, surgeons, police officers, and even celebrities.
"Well, we have someone who can give us the answers that we seek," said Knox.
The hunter was currently in the boathouse on the grounds of the estate. Knox was raring to get his hands on the little fucker.
"You're going to talk to him now, aren't you?"
Talk wasn't quite the word Knox would use, but there would be a little talking involved. He sifted his fingers through her hair, watching as the hazel irises of her glassy, reflective eyes suddenly swirled like liquid before turning into a deep ocean blue. He suspected that no matter how many times he watched their shade change like that, it would always fascinate him.
"Not until you've fallen asleep. You need rest."
Harper didn't want him to go, but she also didn't want to have to walk him through the rest of what happened tonight, step by step. He was torturing himself enough as it was.
"Thank you for somehow hearing me and coming for me."
He kissed her, savoring her taste.
"Thank you for being strong enough to make me hear you. I'll always come for you."
He held her gaze as he added,
"If somebody hired them, I will find out who it was, and I will kill them. I swear that to you."
She smiled.
"You don't have to swear it. I already know you will."
As always, her instant faith in him touched Knox. Before Harper, no one had ever looked at him with utter trust, and they'd been right not to do so. He was as ruthless, unforgiving, and merciless as he was rumored to be. He was loyal to very few people, and the only person on Earth who was completely safe from him was Harper. What amazed him about her was that she didn't doubt that she was safe from him, not even a little. Truly no one, not even Knox, could have blamed her if she did have doubts. She'd seen him at his worst, knew the level of chaos and destruction he could cause, and had watched him conjure the flames of hell. There was only one thing that was impervious to the flames. It was the very thing that was born from the flames. An archdemon. And that was exactly what Knox was. Unlike what some human religions believed, archdemons didn't serve Lucifer. They served hell itself, They were as callous and conscienceless as their inner demons, were born to control, command, and destroy. And yet, Harper accepted him, trusted him, loved him. It wasn't that she was willfully blind to his power or his true nature. No, she knew exactly what he was, and she'd walked into their relationship with her pretty eyes wide open. But she'd still taken him as her mate, still exchanged rings with him, and still even accepted his inner demon. In short, she fucking owned him. But that was okay, because she in turn belonged to him.
No more talking.
Grabbing the remote from the nightstand, he lowered the electronic shades, plunging them into utter darkness.
Now, close your eyes. I'll stay with you until you've fallen asleep, and I'll be here when you wake up.
Luxuriating in the way his hand gently played with her hair, Harper closed her eyes and let herself drift off. The boards of the boathouse creaked beneath Knox's feet as he stalked down one of the narrow walkways that separated the three chrome and fiberglass boats. Moonlight filtered through the windows of the building, illuminating the anxious face of the hunter who sat bound to a wooden chair. He didn't struggle, didn't make a sound. All Knox could hear was the water lapping against the hulls and the creak of the taut ropes as the boats rocked slightly.
"How's Harper?"
asked Levi, his tall, broad frame standing near the wall. He was vibrating with anger. The Sentinel didn't like many people, but he liked and had a great deal of respect for Harper, which was probably why there was one hell of a bruise on the hunter's jaw.
"She's fine. Sleeping, thankfully,"
Knox replied. He came to a stop in front of the hunter, who Levi had divested of his camo outfit and combat boots, leaving him in only his boxers and socks, no doubt to make him feel even more vulnerable than he already did. Knox didn't bother to conceal his rage. He let it fill the boathouse, just as he'd let it fill Harper's office. He also allowed his demon to surface just enough to release a low growl. The stench of the hunter's fear joined the other smells of water, wax, and motor oil. Knox liked the way the hunter's tanned face paled, and his brown eyes flashed with fear. But he much preferred him as a whimpering mess huddling in a corner.
"Feeling better? That's a shame."
Casually, Knox stuffed his hands in his pockets.
"The upside is, you can talk. And that's exactly what you're going to do."
He snorted, but the sound was too faint to be derisive.
"Like, I believe you'll let me live." "I don't recall saying that I'd let you live."
It was truly laughable that the nightmare would think any differently.
"We're not making a deal here and exchanging information for your life. I'm telling you that you're going to answer my questions truthfully."
The hunter lifted his chin slightly in a gesture of defiance so weak that Knox's demon rolled its eyes, despite its anger.
"I've interrogated several nightmares in the past,"
said Knox.
"I found that I prefer interrogating your kind. You see, I can effortlessly thrust my mind into someone else's and find all the information I need. There are a few whose shields present a challenge. My mate's shields are very unique. They have the psychic equivalent of steel barbs, meaning I'd have to shred my own psyche to get past them."
That she had such tough defenses made him proud. Knox began to circle the hunter as he continued.
"Your shields are solid, but not impenetrable. Still, it's never good to read the mind of a nightmare."
But if he delved into the hunter's mind, all Knox would find would be his own personal nightmare.
"But I'm not deterred by that, because I like the challenge. I like being able to really enjoy the interrogation process. It feeds my demon's need for violence."
As Knox moved to stand once again directly in front of him, the hunter swallowed hard and said,
"I didn't hurt her." No, but you pinned her down while another did. You stood by and did nothing while she was in pain. That's just as bad.
Nox's demon pushed for freedom, wanting to make the nightmare pay.
Soon, Nox promised it. Sphinx wings sure are beautiful, aren't they? I'd imagine that the wings of a powerful prime like Harper would be worth the sort of money that would set you up for life.
Nox cocked his head.
Just who offered you that money?
No one. We were just being opportunists.
Nox sighed.
It's always so disappointing when people lie to me. I don't like to be disappointed.
It's the truth!
And that's yet another lie, which you will pay for. You went after my mate. That's a hell of a risk to take, considering she's powerful and that you'd have known exactly what I'd do to you if you were caught. Besides, most of the demon world believes that Harper's wings never came to her. I don't see why hunters would randomly target Harper unless they believe differently. Very few know the truth. And I'm quite sure that the only way hunters would hear about it was if they were told by someone.
His Adam's apple bobbed as he stared at Nox, eyes fairly glowing with fear now.
I can understand why you'd be so determined to hold back information. Personally, I wouldn't have any interest in spilling everything I knew to the person who was about to kill me. But you really, really should spill it all.
I already told you. We were just being...
For every lie you tell, I'll hurt you that much worse.
I can say we were hired if that's what you want to hear, but it won't be the truth.
As his cell phone chimed, Nox said,
Hold that thought.
He pulled the cell out of the inside pocket of his jacket and saw Jolene flashing on the screen. Jolene Wallace was Harper's grandmother, a shrewd and strong prime, and a woman who would obliterate anyone who threatened her family. He wondered if she'd heard that Harper was attacked. No one had announced anything, but Jolene had sources everywhere.
I need to take this.
Letting the hunter sweat a little would add to his demon's fun anyway. Nox moved a few feet away and answered.
Hello?
I heard something happened in Harper's office,
clipped Jolene, all business. Is she all right? She's not answering her phone.
She's sleeping,
said Nox.
To put it briefly, she was attacked by hunters who were hired to steal her wings. They didn't succeed, and she's healing well.
A hiss.
Tell me they're dead.
One is. The other will be once he's given me the answers I want.
I need to see her.
Not now. Let her sleep. She needs it.
Especially since she hadn't been sleeping well recently. There was a resigned but long-suffering sigh.
Keep me updated. I want to know everything that bastard tells you. Make him pay.
The line went dead. Tucking his phone in his pocket, Nox overheard Levi speaking to the hunter.
Don't think that lying will help you. Nox wants answers, true, but he'll happily torture them out of you. This is nothing but foreplay.
It was true that Nox and his demon liked to toy with their prey. Moving back to stand before the hunter, he asked,
Where were we? The more he lies, the more he'll hurt,
said Levi helpfully.
That's right,
Nox sighed at the hunter.
And you lied again, as I recall it. Some people are masochistic that way. I suppose it's good for you that you appear to like pain. It'll help you get through the next few hours.
Nox conjured a ball of hellfire and bounced it on his hand.
Have you ever eaten one of these?
The chair creaked as the hunter jerked back, looking shocked by the question.
It's a standard punishment within our lair, isn't it, Levi?
It is,
the Reaper verified.
I've heard it hurts like a son of a bitch. It burns your tongue, mouth, throat, esophagus, lungs, stomach, and finally your intestines before it sizzles away. Of course, it hurts a hell of a lot worse when it's a high-powered lethal orb. That will burn a person from the inside out, leaving their corpse a melting, blistering mess until it finally vaporizes.
The hunter's panicked gaze darted from Nox to the blazing orb in his hand. Nox tilted his head.
You look surprised that anyone would use such a punishment. It's no secret that I'm cruel and ruthless.
He looked at Levi.
Maybe some think I've gone soft now that I'm mated.
You? Soft?
Levi snorted.
If anything, it's made me harder,
Nox told the hunter.
Because my drive to protect my mate is so intense and primal. Many have already died for harming her, so it truly does confuse me that anyone would assume they could do so and not pay with their life. And yet, you hurt her.
It wasn't me! I just...
held her down, so that she couldn't defend herself while another sawed at her wings. Yes, I know.
His eyes bled to black for just a moment, and the hunter nervously licked his lips.
It was nothing personal, just business.
Business,
Nox rumbled. Levi gave a dramatic wince.
Damn, hunter, you're just digging a deeper hole for yourself here.
I just mean that...
There's really nothing you could say that would excuse what you did.
Nox took a step closer to him.
As I said earlier, I won't be making any deals with you. You won't die faster if you tell me the truth straight away. I won't spare you any pain, not after what you did to my mate. But it is in your best interests to be truthful.
He swallowed.
Why?
Because my demon wants to play with you too,
Nox said softly.
And I've decided to let it.
The hunter's face went devoid of all color. Well, who'd want to deal with an entity as dark and psychopathic as Nox's?
It often gets carried away when it comes to torture,
Nox went on.
But there's a possibility that it will get bored quicker if it has all the answers it needs. I say possibility because there's really no knowing for sure. If you'd prefer to take your chances, that's fine too. Either way, you'll be in pain and you'll die. This is a win-win situation for me. So you can tell me what I wish to know immediately. Suffer horribly for a little while and then die. Or you can tell me what I wish to know eventually. Suffer horribly a hell of a lot longer and then die.
Nox twirled the ball of hellfire.
Now, I'll ask again. Who hired you?
The hunter opened his mouth and talked.